Way back in the autumn of 1996, okay, that's kind of like prehistoric for some of you, I realise, but anyway, long time ago, wasn't it? I was reading Genesis 18 and Romans 4, not quite at the same time. Genesis 18 describes three visitors who come to Abraham, and they tell him about that he's going to have his wife is going to have a son the following year. And then Romans 4, in there, Paul reminds us of Abraham's story and of how Abraham believed God when he promised him a son in his old age even. In the spring of 2021, so we're talking last year, during the third lockdown, I found myself listening to the words of the song that we've just sung now. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. So how do those two incidences link? Well, if we go back again to 1996, I was reading those verses about Abraham as Steve and I were sat in the car park outside Gloucester Royal Hospital. We were waiting for an appointment where we hoped the consultant would throw some light on the fact that I wasn't yet pregnant. Fast forward those 25 plus years, and I was actually listening to Louis singing those words as I recorded him on his phone. He was playing his guitar and singing Waymaker. It was a recording that he was supposed to be using for his online college devotions during lockdown. And I was struck by the appropriacy of him singing about the miracle worker and the promise keeper. All the more so as he was recording it in our bedroom, and in the corner of the screen as I was recording him, it's actually really hard to hold yourself like that, I can tell you. It might not seem that long a song, but then when you lie here. But I was holding it, and in the corner where he was sat, I could see this. And I don't know if anybody can see what that is. Can you see what that is? They can't see. They have no idea at the back. They're like, what is that? Right, yeah, it's actually Louis' scan photo when he was a baby, and it's still in our bedroom, and it was just in the corner of the screen as I was recording him. The Waymaker. God had made the way for us to navigate through a pain, a lot of pain, those following 3 years. He provided the light we needed in the times of darkness, and then he worked a miracle so that we were eventually seen by a different doctor who was quite quick to spot and rectify a medical problem that was missed by the consultant that we'd seen until then. God had kept his promise. He was the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, and the light in our darkness. So, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. So here's just a few reflections on those descriptions of God this morning. Waymaker. Some of the first verses that I learned as a child were Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. And they were in fact the verses that were adopted by the Girls Brigade Company that I used to go along to, and they are very well known to many of you, I'm sure. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. And you know the rest of it. And he will make your paths straight. So what's God saying there? Trust God totally, rather than working things out for yourself. Hand over your future to him and he will show you what to do. He is the way maker, the one who makes the way through. I had a brief WhatsApp chat with someone this week on that very subject as we discussed job opportunities and disappointments. I'd been turned down for a job just before Christmas and was reflecting how glad I was that I had been, though of course I had been very disappointed at the time. But as my friend said, hindsight is helpful. How often do we look back on a difficult period in our life and see how God has guided us all along? For example, back to my what I was talking about earlier, if I'd have fallen pregnant sooner, we may never have moved here from Gloucestershire. As it was, within a month of arriving here, I was expecting Louis. And I sometimes joke that if God was waiting for us to move here before I got pregnant, perhaps he could have just said so, and we'd have just moved somewhat earlier. But God doesn't work like that, does he? It takes me back, though, to the lyrics of the song, "Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working." And I could probably add, "for me," on the end there. God said something similarly encouraging to the Israelites when they were in exile in Babylon in Jeremiah 29:11. Again, it's another verse that lots of people know. The Israelites were taken from Jerusalem, for those of us who don't know the story, and they were taken to Babylon. And so they were away from home totally. But God said, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And I'm sure many of us have read those and been encouraged by that verse. But I wonder if you know what verse 10 says. Anybody? Robert? He's my guru for somebody that knows his Bible really, really well. But no, you don't know what verse 10. Anybody else know what verse 10 says? Sorry, don't want to say the rest of you don't know your Bible well enough or anything. Ed? Oh, you've got it open. Isn't that a good example of someone in the service, whenever you're in the congregation, following the verses that you're talking about? It says, "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place, for I know the plans I have for you." God made them a promise that they would return to Jerusalem. How encouraging was that? You know, "I've got plans for you," says God. "I'm going to prosper you, not harm you. I've got your hope and a future. But you've got to wait 70 years. Yeah, I know, it seems like kind of like, yeah, it is really a lifetime for most of us now, isn't it? Yeah, but he had plans for their future. I don't know what to say about that, but it is just phenomenal, isn't it? That, yeah, God does have plans, but actually they aren't necessarily going to sort out tomorrow for you in your situation. God knows what he's doing, and for some reason it may be wait at the moment. Wait, because he's got plans. And even though we don't see it, he's working. And even though we don't feel it necessarily, he is working. He is the way maker. He's also the promise keeper. As I sat in the car that day back in 1996, reading the story of God's promise to Abraham and Sarah, I was absolutely sure God was reassuring me at that moment, telling me that we would have a baby. And I can't tell you why I felt that, but I did. I absolutely knew that was a promise. And it was that promise that kept me going over some difficult years, not 70, but a lot of years. It gave me the confidence to repeatedly turn down the IVF that we were offered, actually, as I believe God had promised me an Isaac and not an Ishmael. Abraham got Sarah's slave pregnant, you may remember, so that he could provide an heir and almost quickly answer God's promise. But I knew that I had to trust God to provide rather than make things happen myself through my own efforts. And whilst I know I'm now blessed with three lovely children, I know I still have some scars from that time of infertility. And my experiences, though, I feel have given me some insight into others' pain. The Bible is full of promises and that God has made to us. And if we research online, this was before our Wi-Fi went down earlier on, a few days ago. Researching it online, I found that there may possibly be 7,147 promises, or actually perhaps 7,487, or even perhaps 8,810. Apparently Google can't make up its mind how many promises there are in the Bible, but that's quite a lot, isn't it? "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with my victorious right hand, Isaiah tells us. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted, in Matthew. Don't worry, I'm not going to read out the other 7,144 or whatever it is. However, I do wonder how often we doubt those promises. Forget them, ignore them. We worry, we're discouraged, we moan. We wear ourselves out trying to do things our way. But it seems we're in quite good company when you look in the Bible. Coming on to the miracle worker, linking those together. The Bible's full of promises made and miracles brought about by God for women in particular, I noticed. Sarah, Mary, Elizabeth. And talking of Elizabeth, we read in Luke, "Do not be afraid," actually this was to Zechariah, her husband, "your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son and you will call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord." What amazing promise, and what an amazing miracle, because both Elizabeth and Zechariah were pretty old at that stage. And really exciting because, who was it who actually came and delivered those words? Does anybody know? To Zechariah?
Gabriel,
that's right, yes. It was Gabriel. So Gabriel actually appeared to Zechariah, okay? I didn't have an angel sat in the, well, my husband might call himself an angel, but in the car that day, I didn't have an angel that was promising me a son. But Zechariah had an angel, the angel Gabriel appeared. And Zechariah still somehow had his doubts. You kind of think, don't you, if an angel came and told you something, you'd believe it, wouldn't you? You kind of think you would do, and yet somehow Zechariah was like, hey, how's that going to happen? You know, I'm really old and my wife's past it, or something like that. He says something like very, very rude words in the Bible about his wife, I'm sure. You know, how on earth is this going to happen? Because we are so old. So if you're doubting some of God's promises, you're not the only one. It happened to John the Baptist's father as well. Is God still working miracles today? Well, I believe so. Some of my studies at the moment are involving looking at quite a lot of those kind of, perhaps things we wouldn't always agree on at the moment. Miracles, healings, tongues, all that kind of stuff is what I'm currently studying. So, you know, there's a lot of that, a lot of thinking going on my part at the moment. But I believe God works miracles today. From my own life, I can see how things came together at just the right time, in just the right way, and far beyond my control for both Louis and Bella, actually, here to be born. So let's keep praying for miracles. Lastly, light in the darkness. We've had the waymaker, the promise keeper, the miracle worker, and the light in the darkness. Jesus not only said in John 8:22, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." In John 20:21, he said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Not long ago in Cropthorne, we had quite a long power cut. I think there have been a few recently around, haven't they? It was in the evening, so actually it was pitch black. We have no street lamps in the village either, so when there is no light, there is no light. But it was very noticeable, but the minute we got one candle lit in the lounge, the blackness, the darkness went. You know, we couldn't probably have done massive with that light, but there were definitely, it wasn't dark anymore. And when I think back to the years of trying to conceive, I'm aware that Jesus sent a lot of little candle flames into our lives, people that brought a little bit of light into our darkness. There were people that walked with us at the church in Gloucester who cared and loved us in our brokenness. And for me, a Christian at work, who was able to lend me his office and his work phone for the numerous medical phone calls that I needed to make. There were no mobile phones there, remember, or not widely available at that time. So, as hopefully we've been encouraged today, that God is the light in our darkness, who leads us, who keeps his promises and works miracles, perhaps we can also be encouraged to take the light that we've been given and consider how we might use that light to shine in other people's dark places this week. We're going to close our service this morning with a song, Cornerstone. Thank you.